I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's talk to Sam Jay. Sam has been a tailor for the UK police. She's been a taxidermist, a bridal seamstress, and even a set maker for the band Iron Maiden. And now Sam Jay has launched an initiative to teach people how to alter their own clothes and easily upcycle secondhand finds. Sam joins me now from New Plymouth. Kia ora to you.
Kia ora, Emil. How are you?
I am just great. It's lovely to have you here this evening. What's your origin story? How did you get into sewing and textiles in the first place?
I think I've always been interested in textiles. I've always had an interest in being practical. I'm definitely a right-sided brain person, right. Not very logical, very creative. Mm-hmm. My parents were both practical and mum was always sewing. And it was when I was at school, it was always my favourite subject. And when I was about, I think I was about 14 or 15, we had to do a work experience week. And so I went to a bridal shop and did a week's work experience there and loved it. And the lady obviously liked me as well because she offered me a part-time job after that, just working after school. Mm. And so it kind of continued from there. And then the time came, I'd taken a gap year after college. And then the time came to decide what I was going to do. And I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll go and study at uni. Mm. So I did textile crafts there and it all kind of, yeah, started from there, I think.
What did you love about it?
I just love the creativity of it. Creativity mm. and it's, I think it's something that you can be quite flexible with, if that makes sense. It's mm. it's something that, yeah, you can make something from a pattern or you can go off piste and you can add pieces to it. And yeah, it's a kind of that creativity and practical side of it. And it's also quite a social thing as well.
Right. What? Because there is sort of this culture, this sort of subculture of people, well, subculture, it makes it seem way more hipster than it is, I suppose. But you know, people who are into it are totally into it and you can relate to one another on a very kind of, on a real level.
Yeah, I think so. I think there are different levels of it. Like there are the hardcore people who spend all their evenings and all their weekends sewing and stitching and altering things. And then there are people who have like a small interest in it and then they dabble a little bit. And yeah, and so, but there's still this common thing that you're working towards or working with. Mm. So I think, yeah, that's the thing yeah. I like about it.
No, that makes sense. Everybody's working with sort of material, I suppose, and yeah. your technique is what improves and what sets you apart, I guess.
Yeah.
Now, I want to talk a bit about some of the interesting jobs that you have had in your life, I think largely in the United Kingdom. Being a tailor for the police, talk to me about this. I didn't even know the police had tailors, but I suppose it makes sense. Someone's going to make the uniforms.
A lot of it wasn't making uniforms, it was fitting uniforms, so they get made by an outsourced company. But obviously people are all different shapes and sizes, so the police would come in, would measure them up and would issue them with two sets of uniform for the basic police officer, so they'd have like their formal one if they were going to meet the Queen or something like that, and then their everyday uniform. But there was, yeah, fitting their body armour. And then we would get interesting jobs as well. Like there was undercover police who would come into us and they'd go and buy a T-shirt or something or other, a polo shirt. And they'd bring us a small camera and they'd say, we need you to put this camera into the T-shirt so we can't see it. And it was, I'm sure technology has come on heaps since then, but we would have to remove one of the buttons, put in a fake button with a camera in the back of it, run the wires all down the back, so they would then be able to go undercover to their various different things, I guess, like drugs, undercover drugs things and stuff like that.
Stop it. They could, You sewed buttonhole cameras into T-shirts for the police in the UK.
That was one of my jobs, yep. And the other things were like, they were just random things like the police dogs. Sometimes if they were going into scenes where there were broken glass, they'd need boots. So we'd have to make boots for the dogs so they didn't hurt their little paws. Yeah, it was an interesting job. I loved it. It was a great job.
Yeah. Why did you stop doing that?
Because the government decided that maybe they didn't need a tailor for the police anymore, and they didn't need as many. I think there were three of us at the time, and I was last in, so first out. And it was a really lovely job. So it just then went on to a different job, and as I finished that job, I was like, I need to find something else. So in those days, it was looking through the yellow pages.
Yeah.
So just going through, seeing if there was anything that I thought I might like, and came across a company called Hangman in a tiny, tiny little village in the middle of Norfolk in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a set design company. So I called them up and I said, have you got any jobs? And they said, no, I'm sorry. No, we haven't got anything at the moment. And then 5 minutes later, the man phoned me back and said, do you sew? And I said, I can.
Well, as a matter of fact.
And so that's where it began. So I, started there and, we did lots of different sets for different festivals and things like that. But primarily Iron Maiden was a big one.
Were you a big fan of Iron Maiden when you got that job?
Is it wrong if I say no?
No.
It was not my taste in music, but I think because I was working with everyone who loved Iron Maiden, they became a band that I started to love and still do a bit now. So
And so what did you do? What did you do for them?
So they would bring in big drapes. Some of them were printed, and then some of them were what's the word I'm looking for? They're like spray painted on the wall.
Right.
They would hang the big drape up. And then we had this guy, and he was a really lovely guy, really old, quite eccentric. And he would just grab his spray cans with no picture for reference and just spray these amazing artworks on the backdrops. And then it would get sent over to us and we'd have to cut them out to the right size. And then stitch them, making sure there were weights in the bottom, making sure there were the ties at the top, ready to go on stage and, be part of the festivals and concerts and things like that.
You must have been to some pretty cool gigs in your time.
A few, yeah. We got a few perks, but I think when I first started, I made the mistake because where I'm from, Norfolk is quite a rural area.
Mm.
And a lot of the gigs were in big cities. And when I first started, they said, we can go to one of the Iron Maiden concerts. And I said, I can drive if you want. I don't mind being a designated driver.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone's like, yes, please. And I was like, all right then. And so I drove everyone to this gig. And then as we got there, I realized that it wasn't just normal tickets to the gig. It was VIP tickets and it was an all you can drink bar, which I was like, didn't know about this. No one told me about it.
Maybe that's why everybody was so enthusiastic for me to drive.
Yeah, I think so. Learned my lesson very quickly there.
So how, I mean, these are such cool and interesting jobs. What brought you to New Zealand?
When I was 18, I took my year out from college before I started uni and did my stereotypical gap year, as they call it, and came over to New Zealand. And I absolutely loved it. I fell in love with the country. It suited my lifestyle a lot better than what the UK did. Like, it's a lot of outdoors activities and just a lot more easygoing, I think.
Right.
And so did my year, then went back. Did some other jobs and trained to become a teacher, a high school teacher. And I'd done that for about 4 years. And it just got to the point where I wasn't enjoying it anymore.
Mm.
It became a bit too political for me, a bit too much paperwork.
Right.
And so I decided I was going to take a year off. And thankfully found out I could get another visa to come back to New Zealand. So I came back, still loved it. I intended to settle somewhere. I wasn't sure where I was going to settle, but I wanted to settle somewhere and see like live somewhere and see if I could work there with maybe the potential of moving over.
Right.
But enjoyed myself so much, I still continued to travel around. And I did woofing. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Working on organic farms. You work and you earn your keep, right? They feed you and they give you a roof over your head.
That's exactly it. Yeah. So did that. Loved it. And through that, word of mouth and stuff, discovered a job doing taxidermy.
Excuse me?
Taxidermy. So, yeah, I did only do it for, I think it was a month or two. But, yeah, working for a taxidermist.
The sewing up and stitching. That makes sense.
Yeah. So he did all the prep work and I just did the stitching and stuff and the end parts, the stitching everything back together, if you like, which it was never anything I thought about doing. It was never on my radar. I guess it's quite a random job. But really enjoyed it. It was a really interesting, really interesting job.
What were some of the most interesting animals, do we call them animals?
I guess so, yeah.
What were some of the most interesting things that you worked on?
They were mostly they were like trophy animals, like people who'd been off. So there was tartars, I think they're called.
The goats, yeah.
Yeah, and pigs and things like that. I don't know. They were just all interesting to me because I'd never seen any of them in real life before. So I was like, what's this animal?
Wow.
What's this?
That's amazing. And so while you were in New Zealand, you met your beau, did you?
I met a boy, quite a nice boy.
Nice.
And he said, my visa ran out. And he said, well, what do you think about staying and sorting out some kind of other visa? So went back home for what was intended to be 3 months, but ended up being a year because I broke my leg.
Oh, wow.
He thought I wasn't coming back, but I did. And then, I've been here for the last 8 years, 2 kids later.
8 years and 2 kids later. Ah, New Zealand men, eh? We have that effect.
I know, I know. There's an appeal there.
Now, tell me a bit about the Stitch Up Society.
So Stitch Up Society is a recent venture of mine. It's been brewing in my head for quite some time, but has only just come to fruition. My 2 young kids are 2 and 4, the time where they need me less. And so then decided to go back to some kind of employment. Mm-hmm. But the jobs that I was looking at didn't fit in with kindy hours and stuff like that. So I started asking around and discovered this fantastic place called Flourish. It's an organization in New Plymouth that just makes parenting a bit easier. So they have heaps of stuff on like Pilates or like parenting courses or clothes swaps or just things like that. And they have free childcare. And they had this course coming up that was an entrepreneurial course for parents.
Cool.
So this sounded brilliant. So I, went along to that, run by an organization called BOSO. And the course was called Make It Work because they were trying to make it work for parents. Yeah. So we were able to bring our kids along. Or they sat in some of the classes that we had. Presented my idea of Stitch Up Society, which is... the idea came from having the kids and not being able to stitch and sew at home because they're always into things. They're interested in what's in the box, what the pins do. And I thought, wouldn't it be a great idea to be able to go somewhere to a designated place at a designated time and just be able to take my projects and stitch? Mm. And I spoke to some other people and they had the same thoughts. And some said, I've got a sewing machine. I haven't used it for years. I don't even know if I'd know how to do these things. So it was kind of like it stemmed from those things, wanting to go somewhere to be able to stitch, but also sharing resources, sharing ideas, sharing skills. So a bit different from like a formal set of sewing lessons where you'd have to pay a subscription to go to a set amount of lessons. But the idea is that, from Stitch Up Society, is that it's a casual thing. You can drop in. There are a range of different abilities. You can have a wine if you want to. And just kind of reduce the amount of stuff that sits in drawers. Because I've also gone to a secondhand clothing sale. That's the word I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And there were so many people in there that were picking up things that they really liked, but they said, it's a bit too short or a bit too long or it needs a bit of tailoring. And I wondered how many of those clothes wouldn't get bought because those people didn't have the skills to do it themselves. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if there was a place for them to go to be able to do those things, so they could buy the secondhand things, keep it from going into landfill, and change it so they were able to wear it. So that's kind of where it's come from and starting from.
And I guess sort of teaching people to kind of, because, you know, clothes upcycling is such a big thing now as well, you know, not necessarily having to the skills to sort of restore something to its original form, but also maybe to take something and to sort of morph it, to transmogrify it into something totally unrecognisable. Is that sort of part of the ethos, I suppose, as well?
Yeah, definitely. It's something that, yeah, I think is becoming quite a big thing as well. Like, people aren't just looking at things at face value, and trying different things, trying to become a bit more artistic or creative. And I've seen some fantastic ideas where people, like from festivals, because I know lots of tents and things get left at festivals because people don't want to take their wet tents home or their wet sleeping bags. So, yeah, there's people who are taking these tents, taking all the metal parts out, and then using the fabric for wet bags, or like for your swimming, or for your nappies, or like old sleeping bags that are like, I don't know, I would guess from like 20 or 30 years ago. And like I said, technology's moved along quite a bit, so those sleeping bags might not have a life or a purpose at the moment as a sleeping bag, but then people are changing them into like coats, like big duffel coats and things like that.
A second wind.
Yeah, so I think there's a huge kind of, I don't know, passion for it at the moment.
Yeah. Sam, it's called Stitch Up Society. How can people find out more about this, please?
You can find me on all the socials. Facebook is just Stitch Up Society. Instagram is stitch.up.society. And then email address is stitch.up.society@gmail.com. Cool. And it'll be great to hear from anyone.
Great stuff. Sam J, really nice talking to you this evening. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much.
And that's Sam J. Sam's organisation, once again, is called Stitch Up Society.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.